Radio Africana,
your non-stop entertainment radio.
Can we give each other hope?
Everybody, I'm live from the studio today. Music is going to play on the radio, and I would want you to stay with me during that interlude. Good evening and welcome to Second Chances with Hilaria Asumu. I'm really glad you're here with me tonight, and you know, every week this program gives us space to talk honestly about kidney disease, to slow things down and to sit with the realities people live with every day. Tonight is one of those evenings where that space matters even more. Last week, we took our time to understand kidney disease from the beginning, and we talked clearly about kidney disease. We talked about how it develops, why early signs are often missed, what kidney stones really mean, and what it feels like to hear the words, you have kidney disease. And we replaced that with understanding. Professor Ibi Erekosima helped us to slow things right down and take the fear out of the medical language. And many of you reached out afterwards to say how helpful that session was. Tonight, I want to stay with you within that conversation. I don't want to move away from it, but I want to move it into real life. Because once the appointment ends, once the words are said, people still have to go home and live with the diagnosis. And that part of the journey is often the quietest, but also the hardest. And alongside that, our community also carries loss. We don't talk about that enough. Really, we don't. And that's not the only thing we don't talk about. We don't talk about death. We don't talk about, you know, being ill. But it is part of this journey too, this journey today. So this evening, I want to talk about living with the diagnosis. It is really a feeling that you don't even want to think about. It is a terrible thing to sit at home and consider your life and think about where your life is going from that diagnosis. And you think about what it feels like, what changes, what people don't know about the disease or about you. Because as I told you people in my previous sessions, I actually am a kidney patient. And I came into being a kidney patient from a miscarriage. I've told that story over and again, and I really don't want to keep pushing it, you know, into your face. So that is why I'm bringing a lot of kidney patients on at different times so they can tell you about yours. And then I can use mine as an example in contrast to what they've gone through, because everybody goes through this journey in different ways. It's totally different. What I would have, you know, gone through is different from what the next person is going to go through. And what people don't always say, what they don't say out loud, is that, you know, it is a difficult time. It's a difficult thing or subject to think about or to even, you know, talk to their families about. And hopefully next week, I'll be bringing a patient onto the program to share their lived experience. But tonight, let us sit with the reality together. But before we begin, let us settle and ease ourselves into the conversation with a song that helps us slow our thoughts. And we'll have a short music break, but please stay with me. I'll be right back with you. But here is Smile by Wizkid. Don't go away.
Substance. It's easy when the love don't hide. No, I learn from my mistakes. Company creates companions. So right, yeah. Baby, both say I love your smile. Girl, I love it when you.
That was Smile by Wizkid. So let us begin gently. For many people, the moment of diagnosis stays with them for a very long time. I know mine did. And you remember the room, the chair, the pause after the words. Some people feel shock. I was shocked. I couldn't even think. What the doctor was telling me was going through one ear and coming out of the other. And, you know, some feel fear. And that fear is ever present. Because once you hear those words, you have kidney disease. It's downhill from there. There is nothing else you think about. You're thinking about your life. You're thinking about your family. If you're married and have kids, you're thinking about your kids. You're thinking about, you know, would I live long enough to see my children grow up? Those are the things that, you know, cause that fear to blossom inside you. It's like a flower opening, but it's a terrible flower, you know. And some feel numb. Others feel relief because for a long time they've been going through all those symptoms. They weren't sure what it was. And, you know, as you know, we tend to self-diagnose and we tend to go take some medication, over-the-counter medication, in order that we don't go into the hospital. So some people live that way. And you know, the reason for that relief is because finally there is a name for what they've been feeling. All of those reactions are normal. I can tell you that tonight. They are normal. You're allowed to feel that way. It doesn't mean that you're cold or you don't feel or you have no feelings. No, that's not it. Everybody reacts to such terrible news in totally different ways. But what people don't always talk about is what happens next. The doctors will tell you, as I said, it goes through one ear and comes out of the other. And you're thinking, where do I go from here? You leave the clinic and everything, the world, the looks, you know, and you feel different. You feel as if things have changed. You hear things a little bit sharper. For some people, it's like dull noise because they want to shut themselves up in their own world to try and deal with these new sensations going through their body. And you start thinking about your family. As I said, family always comes first, but not your immediate family sometimes, but your extended families, your brothers, your sisters, you know, your parents. How are they going to take the news? You know, your plans, if you've made plans for the future, what you want to do, things you want to achieve, what is going to happen to that? Does that mean everything is gone and your life is now, you know, centered around this diagnosis? And then you remember how the words landed. You remember the pause that followed, because usually the doctors want to see a reaction. They want to see if you're going to ask questions. But right then and there, the confusion is taking over because you cannot imagine. You start thinking, what did I do wrong? Did I drink too much? Did I smoke? What did I do? What did I eat? You know, those are the questions that go through your mind after that diagnosis. But I'll tell you right now, there's nothing you've done that is your fault. Well, sometimes, yes, some people, yes, but not everybody. Because sometimes it's for no reason. And for me, it was a miscarriage that made me a kidney patient. And as I told people before, I had a miscarriage at 22 weeks. And that deteriorated to septicemia, multiple organ failure, to cardiac arrest, and then I was in a coma. And this happened twice. So when we talk about being in a fugue, you've gone through that kind of trauma, and then the doctors call you and tell you, oh, sorry, you've got kidney disease. Put yourself in my shoes and imagine how I felt. You start replaying those conversations in your head. And, you know, you wonder what to say and who to tell. especially in the African community, we always wonder who we are going to tell. We're wondering who can support us. And sometimes, really, because of superstitions and, you know, suspicions as well of people around us, we don't want to tell people. And another thing is because we don't want people to talk about us. Oh, did you see that woman? Or did you see that man? He's just been diagnosed with kidney disease. And we all know what happens. People start to avoid you. Not because, you know, they want to, but it's that fear that you could pass it on to them. It's not contagious. It isn't. Yes, it can be hereditary, but it's not contagious. So people, put your mind at rest. It is not contagious. So if you have kidney disease, you can talk to people. If you are a friend of someone with kidney disease, please go close to them, give them a hug and say, it's okay. Everything will be all right. You also think about what this means for your life. You think about work, you think about your colleagues, you think about, you know, the future, especially if you're the breadwinner of the house. That is a really, really huge burden to carry. So if you're listening tonight and this feels familiar, I want you to know this. There is nothing wrong with you for feeling unsettled. Learning to live with a diagnosis takes time. You have to get used to the idea of living with this disease in your head. You have to get your head around it first before you start thinking about other people. Not everybody is that strong to be able to take in that diagnosis and then go straight and tell their family. Some people usually will go with family. Some people prefer to hear the bad news on their own before they bring their families and friends into the picture. So getting used to the diagnosis doesn't happen in a day. We are all human. We would, you know, withdraw into ourselves. Some people get very active or they become over happy, over excited because they're trying to make up for that news they've heard, or they're trying to make up for the sadness inside them. Uncertainty is also the hardest part. Not knowing what comes next, not knowing how quickly things might change, not knowing what to tell people around you of how strong you need to be, not knowing how strong you need to be for not just yourself, but for other people around you, your family, your children, especially if they're young. And yet, people keep going quietly, steadily. So let us pause for a moment and allow that to settle. Mubad says it better with peace. So don't go away. Enjoy this music and I'll see you back here in a minute.
Waiting be this one like this. Been through many things. Many, many gist. Oh, I still find my peace, mother. Oh, what they do like see me, I know they see. Like say I know they hear. Which kind person be this? Oh, waiting be this one like this. Been through many things. And like I hate jealousy. I be dealing with enemies. Survivor, survivor. Munigba. Money chaser. Faster than a bullet. Flying like a rocket. Bad man, we never rest. King of South and the West. Faster than the car. Move ever, Missa. Faster than the Benz. Oh, you blue low level. So, bad vibes on the ground. Really, my Sam, I'm so bad. Because I even look at them, they're so different. They won't say your nigga. They want to turn your teacher. Before you are my, oh my nigga, oh my nigga. You go be when I no get ginger. Oh my nigga, oh my nigga. You go be when I no get rubber. Cause my mama be praying for me, say make I get it. Oh my baby, say you go there before my suru lady. Come on,
hope you enjoyed that. That was Peace by Mobad. Thank you for staying with me. So let's continue. So after diagnosis, everyday life looks different. It looks slightly different from what you are used to. Some changes are practical. There are appointments, medications, adjusting routines. Others are emotional, because those feelings are coursing through you, because you can see the rest of your life. Because once you are on CKD4, there's no going back. You continue. And sometimes people slowly move into that stage. For some people are thrown into that stage abruptly, like I was. So at that point, you're thinking, my life is over. What am I doing? Where am I going? What am I going to do with myself? Because even if you're going to go to work, you have to actually balance going to work, balancing your life at home, and also balancing dialysis. Because it depends on your treatment plan. So I was on four times a week, 3.5 hours each time. So that's the whole of my week gone, because when you go in, it's the whole day. Especially if you're going in the afternoon, by the time you come out, it's evening. So what about your children? What about your husband? What about your family? What happens to them? You start to think about that, and that is mostly what makes people become emotional. And there are so many tears, so many times you have to rush into the bathroom because it comes on you suddenly and you have to cry or you have to scream. Many people tell me they struggle with how much to share. Do you tell everyone? Do you tell no one? Do you protect your family from worry, or do you lean on them for support? There is no single right answer, because you have to take that step first before you can make that decision. You have to be well with yourself first. You have to feel that you can handle this before you start thinking about others. But don't wait too long, because if you wait too long, you find that, you know, you will never be able to open your mouth and tell people around you, because something else will happen with them, and you want to protect them from the pain. You want to protect them from, you know, the hurt that their loved one, you, is unable to do things like, you know, from when they knew her or when they knew you. So people really struggle, and, you know, each person finds their own balance. It all depends on you. You find your own balance. You find how you can break the news to people. Another quiet challenge is learning to listen to your body. Now, if you've been very active previously and now you have to slow down because, you know, your body is having to change, is having to deal with those changes with dialysis, you know, and being sleepy all the time, being weak and tired all the time. That's something that your body has to adapt to. Things you once ignore now really matter. You're looking at your fluid restrictions, you're looking at your food restrictions, you're looking at your medications, taking them on time, watching out for any signs that, you know, means your body is reacting to something, and then you have to call the hospital. Also, there are other things you have to do, like, you know, ordering your medication and ensuring that you don't run out of those, especially if you're doing home hemodialysis. So the tiredness, the appetite, sleep, stress, all of those rolled into one. You begin to notice yourself even more closely. That can feel uncomfortable at first, but it can also be a form of self-care. Because the better you can take care of yourself, the better the outcome. I have done all the three types of dialysis, but I wish I knew then what I know now. I would have gone straight immediately for home hemodialysis, because that was the best decision that I would ever make. And that is why I do this, because I do not want other people to suffer the way I suffered. So that is why, you know, I decided that we should start from the beginning and talk about the different stages from diagnosis through to transplant. I've been through all of them. Some people do worry that life will stop, that joy will disappear, that their identity will shrink. But from my own journey, what I have seen, what I've experienced, it's not like that. It all depends on each individual. I'm going to be talking about somebody later that, you know, really inspired me as well. That joy doesn't disappear because you can find it. And people also adapt. People adapt to your situation, but you have to open your mouth and tell them what is going on with you. If you don't say, they wouldn't know. They wouldn't know to support you. They wouldn't know how to help you deal with, you know, the endless dialysis you're doing. Some people would even offer to take you to dialysis. My son's godmother actually was taking, she was dropping me off. She would come to pick me up all the way from Didsbury to take me to the hospital for my dialysis. But she could only do it for a certain time. And I was grateful for that, because at that point, you want someone to listen to you, all your rants and everything, because you don't want to rant to your family. You want a neutral person. So that is the best way forward. If you can't talk to your family, look for somebody outside of your family that you can talk to. And slowly and gently, often in ways you do not expect, you start to adapt. Living with kidney disease does not mean the end. It doesn't mean that life ends either. It means that life changes. It changes either for the better, for those who hold on to life and say, I would not allow this disease to best me. And that change, they take it and they turn it, a bad experience, into good. That change, while difficult, can still hold meaning and connection, because you're going to the hospital, you're meeting other people. I have made a lot of friends from my dialysis days, and we still keep in touch. We are a close-knit community. We support each other. And when something happens to one, it happens to all of us. We feel it. It really grips us. When we lose somebody, we find it really, really hard. Let us take a moment before we move forward. I want to pause and acknowledge something real. Last year, in December, our kidney community experienced loss. We lost one of us, a lady called Christy Miller. I don't know if some of the people from our community are on. Many would know her. She had a podcast called Chronically Christy. Her funeral is taking place on the 7th. We lost her in November. In December. And trust me, that really hit hard. And everybody felt so devastated. We're still reeling from it. And I want us to hold her gently in our thoughts tonight. Christy was part of this kidney community. She was the vice chair of Our Plan Northwest. So that's a group of kidney patients, a diverse section of kidney patients across the Northwest. And she came in there quietly, supported each and every one of us, even if she had her own struggles. Christy was part of this community. She mattered. and we remember her today. Loss like this reminds us why these conversations are important. Behind every diagnosis is a person, a family, a story, and sometimes grief. So let us take a moment to honor that before we move forward. Michael Jackson articulates how we feel with his song, Gone Too Soon, as we honor the memory of those we lost in 2024, especially Christy Miller. As we lay her to rest this week, I want you to hold her in your hand, in your heart, and say a little prayer for her. Don't go away. Here is Michael Jackson with Gone Too Soon.
Like a comet blazing across the evening sky, go soon, like a rose in the leaving, so give yourself a chance. I know that you get gone too soon. Like the loss of sunlight on a cloudy afternoon, gone too soon. Like a castle built upon a sandy beach, the sunset dying with the rising of the moon.
Welcome back. That was Michael Jackson with Gone Too Soon, in memory of those we lost recently, and especially for Christy Miller. Let's continue with care. One thing I want to say clearly tonight is this. You do not have to do this alone. If you've been diagnosed with kidney disease, you don't have to do it alone. Yes, people die from complications, not because, you know, they are kidney patients. Complications. I have had almost 8 years post-transplant, and I'm grateful for that. Living with a diagnosis can feel isolating, especially if people around you do not understand what you are going through. That is why community matters. That is why most kidney patients, we come together to form a community to help each other deal with the trauma. It is a trauma, the trauma we're going through. My heart is heavy. I'm holding back tears because it is not nice to lose people, especially people you're close to. And I've lost quite a few recently from the kidney community. That is why conversation like this matters. That is why spaces like this program exist. If you're newly diagnosed, please be gentle with yourself. It's not the end of the world. It is at the beginning, the end of the world for you. But don't carry that load alone. Reach out to people. Reach out to me. Send me a message on TikTok. Look for me on social media. And tell me what the issue is. There are loads of people who are willing to listen to you. So reach out. If you are learning something new about your body and you feel that, you know, I don't understand this, go online. There's Kidney Research UK. There's WSH BME Kidney Network. There's ACI. That's the African Caribbean Kidney Community. Look for us online and ask for support. It is okay to take your time to get used to this, to get used to being diagnosed with kidney disease, and to look at yourself that for the rest of your life, you are a kidney patient because there's currently no cure. It is okay to ask questions more than once, not just with your consultant, but also with the nurses, also with other kidney patients, especially when you have to choose which dialysis you want to do. There are three types, and they offer you and they ask you, which do you want to do? And it's a hard choice. That is another topic which I'm not going to go into tonight. I'm going to bring another consultant on to talk about the different types of dialysis. And I will bring different patients who are on dialysis and have done the different types. I have done the different types through my 10 years of being on dialysis. But I've come out on the other side unscathed, and you can too. It is okay. It's also okay to feel hopeful and one day and feel overwhelmed the next. It happens. You're even allowed to be a diva, because this kidney disease journey is not an easy one. Some days you're okay. There's some days you feel like a loco. You feel like, you know, I can't do this. And you're screaming and shouting at people around you, people you love. But let's hope that those people, your family, they understand what you're going through. And if you're supporting somebody with kidney disease, for those who are supporting people, I'm talking to you. Your presence matters more than you realize. You are that steady rock. You are that person. Even if you don't say a word, just being there is enough. Checking in, sitting quietly, these things count. I had quite a few people coming through, but the two constant people in my life were my two children, my son and my daughter. And if you came at the beginning of this show, every show, it is both of them singing my charity song, Hope Bringer. Go listen to it. It's on Spotify. It's on all the major platforms. Go listen to them. Listen to them sing, because they were right there beside me, and that kept me going. I also had my sisters checking on me, making sure I'm okay. And I was with one of my eldest sister the day they called me that they found a kidney for me. So if you are the brother or sister of somebody, Don't think because you're far away that your support is not required. It is. Because you can sit with them whilst they're doing their dialysis for those 3.5 hours or 4 hours or 2 hours, depending on their treatment. You can sit with them and just talk with them about everything to take their mind off the pain. Because trust me, it's painful. And, you know, whilst we are here, next week I will bring a patient onto the program to share what this journey has been like for them. Their voice will add something important to this conversation, because I think sometimes when we talk about things, we also need a sort of example. We need somebody to show those who are listening, those who are watching, that this is real. It's not just talk. Because they have lived experience, and lived experience speaks in a way information alone cannot. So when patients come forward to share their information, you find that they are able to help people who are listening understand what is happening. I also want to share something even more recent. In the last segment, I talked about Christy Miller. And I want to do this gently. I don't want this session to be, you know, a sad one. But it's something I think people should know, because these people, we kidney patients, we are people too. We go through a lot, and we don't know from today, from one day to the next, if we are going to still be here, or when we go to bed, we don't know if we are going to wake up. My charity, WSH BME Kidney Network, support kidney patients and their families across the UK. And on New Year's Day, one of our patients passed away. They saw in the new year, they celebrated the new year, and 6 hours later, they were dead. She had no family here in the UK, no one to stand in that space for her. And as a community, we've had to come together to make sure she's laid to rest with dignity. We're raising funds to cover her funeral. The amount we are trying to raise is £6,000. I'll post the link in the comments for anyone who feels able to support. There is no pressure, only an invitation to support. I share this not to create sadness, but to remind us of what community really means. Sometimes it means listening. Sometimes it means showing up. Sometimes it means helping quietly in whatever way we can. Let us hold that in our thoughts before we close. Let us take one final pause with music. Here is Candle in the Wind by Elton John. It is very appropriate for this, because this lady left this world just as the new year was coming in. It is so sad, and I hope you find it in your heart to help us to raise the funds to give her a befitting burial. Here is Candle in the Wind by Elton John. Don't go away.
Goodbye, Norma Jean. Though I never knew it all, I've had the grace to hold you safe and those around you fall. I crawled out of the woodwork and they whispered into your brain. They said you are the treadmill and they made you change your name. It seems to me you lived your life like a candle in the wind, never knowing who to cling to, when the rain set in. Would have liked to have known you, but I was just a kid. Your candle burned out long before your legend ever did. Well, the Marilyn was found in the news. Seems to me you lived your life like a candle in the wind, never knowing who to cling to when the rain set in. Would you like to have known you, but I was just a kid. The candle burned out long before. Never did.
Thank you very much, and thank you for anybody who's donated towards Tunde's burial. So that was Elton John, Candle in the Wind, and thank you for holding that moment with me. So in our next segment, we're going to be talking about living with the diagnosis. Living with kidney disease is not only about treatment, it is about learning how to live again in a slightly different way. Some changes are practical. There are appointments, there's medication, adjusting routines, and others are emotional and deciding who to tell, as well as listening to your body and accepting help. Many people worry that life will stop, that joy will disappear. But what I see again and again is adaptation. You adapt. People adapt. We're humans. We're able to do that. Even animals adapt to their own environment. So why should we not? But, you know, it takes some time. Slowly, gently, people find their rhythm again. I thought I was just going to be on dialysis, you know, I won't be able to do anything, I'll be laid up in bed. Yes, I was initially, but then I had to tell myself, you get out of that bed and get out there. Because if you remain in that bed, you will never get out again. In fact, I actually almost lost the use of my legs, and the doctors offered me a wheelchair. And I said, no. What's going to happen to my high heels in my wardrobe? Who's going to wear them? No, give me crutches and I will try and get myself back there. That was determination there, because I wasn't ready. It wasn't about the shoes. It was just thinking of me, you know, just sitting down there doing nothing, waiting for people who have other things to do and tell them to take me here and there. I was driving myself to and fro from dialysis. Yes, I didn't like it, but that is life. You move on. I had two young children to look after. Why would I sit at home doing nothing? There were a lot of people who depend on me emotionally, morally, financially. What was going to happen to them? So I got right up. So people find new rhythms. They find new priorities, new strength they didn't know they had, and that was me. Living with such diagnosis doesn't mean the end of life. It means that life changes, and a change, while difficult, can still hold meaning. You can also give meaning to other people. You inspire them to do better. You inspire them to get up and get going. And you know, it is really hard to take that step and say, you know, I am ready. I'm ready to get out there. But when you make that decision comes from you, not from somebody else pushing you. It is you right there saying, look at me, I want to do this, because there are people who are waiting to see what I'm going to do. Not maliciously, but because probably they've been looking up to you. So you have to set a sort of example for people to follow. Because people tell me, when I look at you, they go, Hilaria, when I look at you and all the things you do, and then I'm feeling ill and I'm lying down in bed, I tell myself, get up. Well, I tell you, yes, everybody can be like me. I'm OTT. But you know what? The energy I have comes from my gratitude. My gratitude to my donor family. My gratitude to my donor's mom who agreed to organ donation. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. So let this lived experience, my lived experience, speak in a way that informs you. In a way that information you could get cannot educate you. So before we move to the final segment, let's listen to Blessings by Simi. Stay with me, and when we come back, we'll be summarizing tonight's discussion. So don't go away. I'll see you back here in a minute. Sticking with me through this whole program today. Tonight we talked about the space after diagnosis, the part of the journey that happens quietly away from the clinic, and that's in people's homes and in their thoughts. And it's not an easy thing to do. It is really hard, but there are some people who can actually move on and get on with their lives, even if they are facing so much during the journey. We also honored those we have lost last year and this year, and we reminded ourselves of the power of community. If you're living with kidney disease, you're not alone. I say that all the time, and I mean it. If you're grieving because you've lost somebody, you are also not alone. If you're unsure about where to get support, support exists everywhere. Only need to type into Google support for kidney disease and to bring up all the organizations. There is also understanding that there is life after diagnosis. Remember that. It doesn't mean because you've been diagnosed with kidney disease that your life is over. Your life isn't over. If tonight raised questions for you, please speak to your GP or your kidney team. That is if you've been diagnosed with kidney disease or if you're supporting somebody with kidney disease. And if you need support beyond that, you can reach out to WSH BME Kidney Network at www.kidneynetwork.org www.shbmekinnynetwork.org.uk or email us at hello@shbmekinnynetwork.org.uk. You can also join our Facebook community, the African Caribbean Kidney Support Network. We're always there to share information, to share our knowledge, and also help you deal with the diagnosis you've received, or if you're helping somebody, how you can help them. There's so much information out there, and we share them, and you know, everybody discusses, you know, their own experiences so that you can learn, especially if you've just been newly diagnosed. Thank you for being with me tonight, for listening, and for holding the space with me. Next week we continue this conversation with this patient story. Until then, take care of yourself and be kind to your bodies, especially kidney patients. May this program continue making you feel supported, informed, and reminded that none of us walks this journey alone. This is Second Chances with Hilary Asumu. Good night and take gentle care of yourself. Here is Stand Strong by Davido featuring The Samples. Until next Sunday, I'll see you back here. Good night and take care of one another. Thank you.
Papa told me keep your head up high, even though your body full of bite marks from all them canines. Steady moving, I'm just living life. And so many people in my business, so many joking eyes. My fans are easier to face, man. In the front of my head, steady chasing my paper. My tail we don't chase. My steps are guided by Jehovah. I'm 44 looking over. Let no be stop us and over. And every show is a short time. Oh, cause I stand strong. Maybe you no go minus. Maybe you LME 9 plus. Big fish flow like the ocean. No, I'm gonna stand strong. Let it be the my back up. Maybe you LME. Look in my eye, you see the money and the fame, the success, but you really don't know what's going on in my life.
What's going on in my life?
No pleasure comes from pain. No money fall like rain. This thing they cost my grave, but it's all I. Affairs are easier to face, man. In the front of my head, man. Steady chasing my paper. Sipping my tail with no chaser. My step